to let go of the need for perfectionism, I would venture to guess it is like the thing in your life that is holding you back from everything you are looking for. Unless you're a neurosurgeon, you can stick with perfectionism. It's all yours.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As an anthropologist and naturopathic doctor, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know these people, they are people kind of like you. Before we jump into the interview, I want to invite you to join our free Facebook community, Legacy. If you want to be something amazing, you need to surround yourself with amazing people. The Legacy community is made up of badass women living, not leaving, but living our legacy every single day. We are leaders, parents, entrepreneurs, and innovators collectively committed to leaving the world better than we found it. My mission is to support the health and optimization of these badass superheroes, literally to places we never thought imaginable. If you are on a mission and get it, that your health is the key to your unlimited potential, then join us. We are super awesome. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/BE Legacy. See you there. So today I had the chance to have a conversation with Rachel Maskell. Rachel is an entrepreneur, a mom, and a boss, and appropriately, her company is called Mom Boss. She's got podcasts, she's got these incredible mom boxes which facilitate self-care, and as she likes to put it, self-centeredness, this type of time alone that women need to actually reconnect with themselves. This was a really great interview because we got underneath the hood of some of the things and beliefs that we carry as women that prevent us from legitimately engaging in self-care. We talked about Rachel's non-negotiables. We talked about her morning pages and what that means to take some time and actually just write and engage with her creative self. We talked about the perfect women and why aiming for perfection is usually the thing that holds us back. And we talked about pulling together and utilizing all of these skills to move ourselves forward in life, venturing towards progress over perfection. It was a really great interview, especially if you want to get in and understand what it is that motivates us as women, as entrepreneurs, and as mom bosses out there in the world. My pleasure to introduce you to Rachel Maskell. Rachel Maskell, the one and only Mom Boss. It is such a pleasure to have you on the Entrepology Podcast.
Thank you, Megan. It's such a pleasure to be here with you. And I'm so excited for your podcast. It's been great listening to it.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, I'm so excited to have you here. I mean, you're experienced in this domain, and I couldn't think of a better person to really delve in and start to explore the concept of being a mother and balancing the care and nurturing of other people, but then driving your own entrepreneurial ambitions. So I can't wait to jump into this conversation.
Sounds fabulous. I'm ready.
All right. So you're one of those women who is just inherently resourceful. You've got all sorts of talents, limitless competencies. Can you share your story about how you settled into and founded Mom Boss and now Mom Box?
You know, I think one of the things to kind of back up a little bit before even Mom Boss was initiated. So my husband's an entrepreneur, and when we first started dating, and actually soon after we started dating, we left and we started traveling all over New England and quite a bit. And my world was a lot about supporting him and helping getting his business off the ground and, you know, doing all the things that us women tend to do to help our partners. With always the back of my head is like, back of my mind is like, okay, at some point, like I've got some stuff I want to say. Like there's things that I want to share. But never really knowing what that was or how it was going to come into play, and just kind of rolling with things as we do. And then I became a mom. And then, you know, when you become a mom, your world goes upside down and can take many different paths. And what I was struggling with a little bit, and also just thinking about is like, how do people do this? How do we women do this? How do you continue to travel, which we did quite a bit and still do quite a bit, to support my husband, to be a mom and to not lose sight of myself. And at the time I was mainly supporting my husband, but also I had a web design and branding company that was, I had two other women that were working with me. And one was also a mom. And that trying to balance doing all of that was a lot. And so I started Mom Boss originally as a podcast. And the first season was just me exploring what the heck is all of this. And so I would walk around and I was trying to do it like very This American Life, like NPR style. And I would record tons of ambient sounds. I would record conversations of Kaliana and I. I would record like really dark moments of being a mother and like my just like challenges. And then I would cut and put the show together and I had these different topics that is like being a mom, being a boss, being a wife, traveling. And that was really fun. And I enjoyed that, but it was a lot of work because again, I was a solo person, you know, doing it all. And it was like, I can't maintain this level of production and do everything else. So fast forward after that, I started rethinking about the show. It's like, okay, what is actually going to be really valuable for people and valuable for myself? Because part of all of this was me looking to explore motherhood and understand what it means to be a modern mama. You know, what does it mean to have to be wearing all these hats and still look pretty and be healthy and, you know, not lose your cool? Never lose your cool. Or at least don't let them see you. That's not entirely true. So I started interviewing a lot of other, what I would like to term mom bosses, you know, other women in this space who are doing incredible stuff. A lot of them happen to be in the health field because that's my world with my husband. And I started learning more and figuring out like, okay, here's what we women are looking for. Here's kind of the pattern, the thing that I keep hearing again and again. And a lot of that's connection, community. We have a loss of tribe with kind of our modern world. But also a huge piece is the question of self-care. You know, how do we take care of ourselves when we are caretakers, when we're nurturers and we're pretty much caring for everybody else? And assuming that by caring for everybody else, we are going to be cared for. And in talking to all these incredible women, what I've really come down to realize is like, that's kind of exactly opposite of what we need to be doing. And the airlines, as much as we like joke about it, of put on your oxygen mask first, is actually more the truth that I am finding. And that seems to be resonating with the women that I feel are really able to be out there making change and making impact, having impact, positive impact. Which led me to do the Mom Box. So Mom Box is a subscription box, or you could buy a one-off box, and in it are products that help support us moms and women, and it's looking at different elements of ourselves. So helping us to, there's products to help us take time to like just breathe and reconnect with ourselves. To start tuning into what our natural gifts are, to what things that are going right in our world. So, you know, reminding us to think about what we're grateful for, reminding ourselves that we are enough, reminding ourselves that things that we have that capacity to really focus on the positive aspects and attributes of our lives, and that as being a really valuable element to moving through all the crazies. Looking at ritual and actually doing things to take care of our bodies, like probiotics and vitamins and water and, you know, nutritive things that we could do as daily routines, as well as having creative outlets. So what are the things that we could do to really express ourselves? And I think all of these elements are items that we tend to know we need to do for ourselves, but often get put in the background and kind of forgot about because we're spending all that time taking care of everybody else and checking off all of our to-do lists. So the idea with Mumbox is like, here's your reminder. Even if it sits in your house and you don't open it up at all, that box is going to sit on your counter as a reminder that you are important and that you need to take time for yourself. And it's not just about doing it because you're selfish, but doing it because if you don't take time for yourself, everybody else suffers because we have so much capacity to be present for other people. And so many people rely on us to be that beacon. And sometimes that sucks, to be honest.
Sometimes it sucks. You know, as you were saying this, I was going to jokingly say, how do you fit bottles of wine into your mom box? And then I was thinking as you were talking and you evolved the discussion to talking about self-love and facilitating creativity. So why is it that we as women find it so socially acceptable to say, I've had a hard day, so I'm going to go home and drink wine to compensate, as opposed to I've had a hard day, I'm actually going to go give myself a creative outlet, or I'm going to engage in an activity of self-care? Why is that so hard for us?
I think it's a great question. And my first thought is because it feels like work. It feels like something like, oh, now it's one more thing I have to do. Whereas like when you pick up that glass of wine or, you know, whatever your kind of go-to thing is, that is about shutting down, right? It's like, we want and need something often to turn off the doing. And sometimes I think self-care feels like, okay, well, now I have to make this time to sit here in quiet space, or, you know, like I don't think we've really have had the space to think of it as, sometimes it's fun as like, oh, but this is my thing to like do because it's my like dirty little secret. You know, sometimes we want that little bad girl element too. Like, I'm going to have my wine because like, yeah, I deserve it. And it's like, maybe, yeah. And I'm all for having that glass of wine. But I also think it's reprogramming the way that we think about self-care and nurturing ourselves is not as something as one more thing on our to-do list, but is actually, that's the thing that's going to get us through being able to do our to-do list.
Yeah, for sure. And so how do you take care of yourself?
So it's an evolving thing, right? Depending on what's going on in my life. But I have been really working on some non-negotiables, and those are taking like 10 minutes a day at some point in my day, to just sit and breathe and like decompress. And, have you ever heard of the artist way?
Mm-hmm.
So I've been doing that with, two other women, and it's been a phenomenal process. And the non-negotiable with that has been my morning pages. I don't always get to them in the morning, but every day writing 3 pages and just making that commitment, to process. So those are kind of my non-negotiables of like, these are the things that I need to do to take care of myself so I can reconnect to my own energy. Because I find if I don't do that, I'm spending a lot of energy fumbling around because I'm trying to do too many things. Whereas when I take that time to center myself, it's like, then I feel like my energy can be much more direct and on top of things. There's like lately the past few days, I'm normally like really stressed out about time. I'm like, oh my God, I have to do this and I got that. And then I can feel my anxiety and my heart starts racing. And then lately the past 3 days, I've been like, I don't need to do that. Like, everything always works out. So maybe some things have to get pushed around, But most people are okay if you're 5 minutes late to things, you know, especially when you like let them know, hey, I'm running behind. People, I think, are much more forgiving than I create in my head. And letting go of those time constraints, I'm finding that I can be a lot more present and calm and work towards, you know, checking other things off my list mentally because I have that space.
Yeah. And I think that's such a good point that people are actually forgiving. And just an observation is I have found that one of the key differentiators of entrepreneurs is that they, whether they articulate it or not, they seem to self-select for progress over perfection. And those weren't your words, but I feel like that's what you were describing, is that you're engaging in a process that enables progress. And it's not always about having to be perfect all the time.
I love that. That is so huge. And I think you're absolutely right. It's something that's talked a lot about in the entrepreneurial scope. But one that I think all of us can pick up on, right? It's like, what is perfect anyway? It doesn't, you know, we're all imperfectly perfect. Life is imperfectly perfect. And so trying to get everything to a T before we move forward creates this, you know, unnecessary stress on ourselves. And then for entrepreneurs, it often means like you're not actually getting your work out there in the world because you're stopping yourself from making that movement.
Do you feel like, now that we've just opened this conversation, do you feel like perfectionism is sort of the curse that we bring upon ourselves as women? I feel like it hurts us in the workforce, but I definitely feel like this is a force that hurts us in our communities when we're engaging with other women. Even if it's unspoken, there's this drive to project perfectionism. Do you feel that?
Yeah. I think most of us have this idea of a perfect woman, whether or not we actually have spoken that to ourselves or really like mapped that out. But I think we have this concept of like a perfect woman is like this. And we sometimes project that onto our husband and expect him to be a perfect woman. And we project that onto our friends or to our community. And we certainly try to hold ourselves to that standard. But I think it's time that we start questioning that. It's like, okay, I'm all for desire and like what we want to kind of work towards, again, you know, like progress. But I feel like we're holding this kind of concept of perfection in our minds that is unrealistic. And I have no idea where we got that from. It feels like maybe it's like a miasmic pattern of women. And it feels like to me that the way to move forward and the way to reconnect to ourselves as well as our community and our family is to start to let go of that and to recognize when that comes up, because it just, I think, creates more separation than it allows us to collaborate and connect.
Yeah, and perfection and vulnerability are like oil and water. And vulnerability is like, it's the golden ticket that enables you to connect to other people, right?
Yes. And to be vulnerable means you have to be willing to let go of, you know, this expectation.
Absolutely. So this, if nothing else, I want this to be a call to action to people who are listening to let go of the need for perfectionism. I would venture to guess it is like the thing in your life that is holding you back from everything you are looking for. Unless you're a neurosurgeon, you can stick with perfectionism. It's all yours. So if I look at the term mom boss, what does that mean? Who is a mom boss? Do you have to be a mom?
No, you know, it's a good question. It's a funny question because one of the things that I've really been focusing on is exactly that. Like, okay, mom boss. Like, if I was to define that for someone, what would it be? And the more I've like kind of sat with it and played with it and explored the brand, to me, it's a philosophy, it's an attitude, and it's a mantra. So you don't have to be a mother per se, but I think it's also a noun and a verb or adverb or something like that, you know, where it's like, okay, a mom boss is a person who knows who she is, has that sense of vulnerability of like, okay, I know I'm not perfect and that's okay. And I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to do the best that I can and stay committed to that as best as I can. And I'm going to forgive myself when I don't, you know? So it's, we, particularly as moms, we're having to wear so many different hats and, you know, you're juggling a lot of things and it gets crazy. And sometimes we yell at our kids or we just want to throw stuff and like giving ourselves permission to be like, it's okay when we do that. And we're always going to look to see like, how can I be the best version of myself? And I say mantra too, because there's times when it's like, when my world feels really upside down, I could just be like, mom boss, mom boss, mom boss. And it's embodying that energy that helps me to like, again, reconnect my energy and be like, this is how I'm going to deal with this situation. And you see it in women all around. It's like, okay, that person has, it's a sense of knowing who you are and how to come back to that place when everything feels kind of upside down and chaotic.
Yeah. And it's interesting, even as you talk about it, I also see it incarnating as a leadership role. So, yeah. You know, as you're talking about, as we're talking about perfectionism and we're talking about, you know, there's those days where you just like, you just can't cope or you're like, your house is falling apart or like you missed the appointment or whatever else happened. When those things happen in my world, the first people I talk to about that are my kids. And I use it as an example to say, listen, like, mommy's not perfect and I wasn't ever trying to be, and that these things are okay. And that to me is a leadership issue. How do you talk to your daughter, Kellyanna, about these types of things? How do you impart the principles of mom boss onto her, even though she's still really little?
So actually that's one of the things that that has inspired me to do mom boss and to like kind of initiate this, what I like to think of as also as a movement, right? And so bringing all of these incredible women who are doing great things into the tribe. And I like to think of it as lead by example. So I do what you do too, is like when I have a moment, I'll come back to her and I'll apologize. And I'll say, look, I'm really sorry I did that. I didn't mean to yell at you. You know, like I just was overwhelmed and I apologize. So she gets to see that. And also like she sees me meditating and we pull cards together and, you know, I talk to her about the things that I need. Like, okay, I need this time right now, Kellyanna. And I need you to, you know, you could draw, you could do this. Let me get you set up. So she just understands too, that like my taking care of myself is important. Learning forgiving myself and asking for forgiveness from somebody else is important. And then like when she has meltdowns, I let her have meltdowns too, because I want the kind of thing that I want for myself is what I want for her and vice versa. And the more that I, I've been sitting with a lot of this stuff lately and, had some somatic body work done, which really connected me with my inner child. but it did. Like I started thinking about all the stuff, all the memories and pains that I've been holding into my body for many, many, many years. And I saw kind of those patterns and where it came from as a child. And a lot of it was just my parents not really knowing how to deal with me and wanting to shut me down because that was easier to control. And I see Kellyanna as like my little inner being, right? What is it that my inner being wants and needs is exactly what she needs. And that's love and nurturing. Yes, boundaries, but boundaries through love and not withholding love. And that's hard. But to me, that is mom boss, right? Like we have to embody that so that we can pave the way for our children so that they learn by example. They watch us. They're not, you know, they pick up so much more from observation than they do from anything else. So I think it's really important that I myself live it, but then also as I can, and when opportunities arise, to use them as a teaching moment with her.
Yeah, it's so true. And it's not just kids, right? It's like if you have colleagues and if you have other family members and spouses, the boundaries you put around your needs with respect to self-care are what they're going to in turn ask for from their community. It has a huge resonance effect in terms of its ability to impact other people.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think, and we're all looking for that, right? We're all looking for an example that we can follow. And there are some out there in the world today, but there are also a lot of that, you know, you're kind of like, not so much. So where do I go? You know, where do I go for that community and that support and, you know, reminders of, yeah, just awareness. You know, we want to have, I think, visual representations or people that we can look up to and say, okay, that's what I can do. That's how I can be.
Do you have a mom boss mentor that you look up to or that you watch from the wings or that has had influence on you?
I think there's a lot of people. Yeah, there's definitely people in my community that I admire and I look up to. But there's, I think a lot of it's books that I read. I've been really into Mama Gina stuff lately. It's a whole other topic. So if you haven't heard her,
I haven't heard her. I will.
she's pretty amazing and looking at things from more of a feminine body and how to embody our bodies. But I think she's onto something in for this modern day. This isn't a mom boss, but Carl Jung, I freaking love all the stuff that he brought into the world around understanding our subconscious and patterns and really looking at how our subconscious speaks to us through symbols and things in our environment. So I'm very much into that kind of spiritual world as well and seeing how we can take some of those patterns and bring them into our modern day world. So I have somebody that I've worked with for many years, Elvia Nina Rowe, who's a reverend and works at Angels Teach. So she's been a mentor of mine. And since I've been working with her, I also do some teaching through that community.
So in talking about that, and you mentioned this concept of feminine embodiment, and looking at mom boss and the role that women have in sculpting so much of our society and communities, what does the word feminism mean to you?
Oh, just throw that one down.
let's just go there.
You know, I think that we're in this new place of feminism where my mom's generation and kind of her siblings were really all about equal rights, right? Like we could do what you can do. We deserve exactly the same thing as you men. And I think that provided a lot for us in moving women forward and you know, the movement towards women getting the right to vote and all of that. Like, so grateful for the women that came before us. And I think what feminism is now is really understanding our differences and understanding our strengths and stepping into our strengths rather than expecting to be more like men and fighting the battle of a man. We are different. We are built differently, physically, mentally, the way our brains work are different. Our hormones are different. Like Alisa Viti does some really great work with looking at our hormonal patterns. And men are on a 24-hour cycle. Women are on a 28-day cycle in the way that our hormones function. That is a fundamentally huge difference in who we are. And so for me, feminism is about coming back to our innate cycles, like understanding how our bodies work, understanding what makes us different, what makes us unique. And instead of seeing that as something that's bad or wrong, as something that's incredibly powerful. And so tuning into our bodies, understanding that we have different anatomy than men, and that's a good thing. And how to utilize that to feel more radiant and in our bodies and that our bodies can be powerful tools for me, is about feminism. That it's a big piece, you know, our bodies, but mainly understanding that we are different, and that's good.
Yeah, I totally love that. I see this in clinical practice, and I saw much more, I'm going to say, even 3 or 4 years ago, where women would come into my practice and we'd be talking about birth control or we'd be talking about other things, and they were literally on the pill continuously to suppress their menstrual cycles because they said it gave them a competitive advantage in the workplace. And I didn't even have the vocabulary to describe my shock the first time I heard it, and then when I heard it several more times. So I love this definition because it doesn't denounce what makes us different. It embraces and elevates the fact that this is our unique offering.
Yes, and it's so sad to me because I've never had to, nor do I want to play the corporate game. But I know that like there's so many amazing women out there who are having to play within the structure of the patriarch. And hopefully, and I'm starting to see signs of that breaking down because it doesn't fit everyone. You know, the patriarchal 24-hour cycle and go, 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 go is burning us women out. And we need women in this world. You know, we need the balancing of the men and women. And so I think figuring out a system that's really more supportive of all of us is where we need to be moving.
Yeah, you know, and in looking at those differences and the synergies that can exist, I'm kind of curious. So yeah. Both you and your husband are entrepreneurs. And earlier on in one of our earlier shows, we had a psychotherapist on and we talked about relationships of entrepreneurs. But I'm curious, as someone who's in one of those relationships, what's it like on the ground? What are the synergies and challenges of this sort of occupational doubleheader for you two?
Not without its challenges.
No.
You know, it's, there is definitely a constant coming back to looking at our strengths for myself and recognizing that, again, in the home, there's the times that I want him to be the perfect woman. It's like, why aren't you picking up your clothes? You know, don't you see dirty dishes? Can't you help out with the laundry? You know, like all of those things that I'm thinking. And like literally he doesn't see those. It's not in his awareness. But he's doing things in the workspace and he's very focused with what he's doing in his business in ways that I just don't have any desire to be like that and to function that way. So when I'm feeling frustrated with him, I'm going to give him the space and he to really focus on what he's good at and then ask him for help when I need it instead of getting upset about it. And I am now going to appreciate everything that he's providing and everything that like he's bringing to the table and supporting us with so that I can let go of any kind of judgment. And then free up that energy so then I could focus on what I want to do and go about it the way that I want to go. And it's not always, I mean, obviously all of that's easier said than done, right? Because we've got stories and we've been together for about 11 years. So there's a lot of history in our progress. And he's been on his kind of entrepreneurial path longer than I have. So there's sometimes for me, like kind of resentment around, oh, you just get to do what you want to do. And I have to do all of these other things. And I realize like that attitude is not serving me, right? Like it's not helping anyone. So my journey has been to like, okay, you know, I'm going to be grateful for everything that you have done, because actually when I pause and take a step back, I have a good life. Things are good. And I have a lot of ability now to develop and do the things that I want to do in a way that I want to do it that's fulfilling and good and feels yummy for me.
I love it. The lens of gratitude, right? It always yes. changes the perspective and paradigm. Rachel, yes. How would you define health?
I think health is I like this question because I do think it's a very individual thing. And I think it's a dynamic element. So health is when we're feeling our most radiant and connected self, when we can really feel like what I like to term our inner gold shining from the inside out. And sometimes that means different things at different times. So it could be, you know, having the right amount of sleep or drinking the right amount of water, eating the right food, or sometimes it means going out and partying because you need to have that release and play and fun.
Sometimes it might mean locking yourself in the bathroom and enjoying the contents of your mom box.
Totally. Taking that breather. Yeah, exactly.
Ladies, you do what you need to do to create your boundaries and your space. Each month, I'm featuring a new Anthropology quiz to help you unlock and uncover some of the physical performance blocks that may be holding you back from your true potential. This month, the quiz is exploring sleep. Besides digestion, sleep is one of the most fundamental things we need to be able to do as living beings, and we have historically undervalued this time of recovery to be able to keep us in peak performance. No longer is it about how many hours a day can you hustle, but it's really about how effectively can you sleep and recover. I want to know whether or not you are sleeping and recovering the way you should be. To learn more or to take the quiz, head on over to meganwalker.com/anthropology quiz. Rachel, I want to move on to the second half of the interview. And these are what I call key performance indicators. So just like we would have those in a business, those key indicators that we're looking for, I think that we also have those in our lifestyle. So this is a series of 4 to 5 rapid fire questions about some of the key elements of your life.
All right.
So the first one is, do you have a consistent morning routine? And if so, can you share?
It's not consistent, but what I attempt to do is when I get up, I usually have coffee because I like the ritual of it and the French press. I do a little bit of meditation and I try to get my morning pages done before I walk Kaliana to school.
I love it. How early do you have to get up to do that?
If I really want to be on top of it, by 7, which isn't too bad, but I'm not a great morning person, admittedly.
Admittedly, this is the part of being vulnerable, everyone. You just share your truth. Fiction or nonfiction? What are you reading right now?
Nonfiction. There's 3 that I'm reading right now. I'm finishing up The Artist Way. Master of Love, I think is the name of it. Don Miguel Ruiz, one of his. And Pussy by Mama Gina.
I love it. Show notes, everyone. It's in the show notes. Hot beverage of choice, and how do you prepare it?
Coffee, French press, usually like a good organic coffee bean. And I've been off dairy lately, so just straight black coffee. Although I do love a little bit of good milk, like whole, yummy, creamy milk.
Straight up. And you're in LA, so you can get the unpasteurized kind down there, which is so nice. What do you do for fun or play?
I like to travel. So we often go traveling, although that sometimes can be stressful. So for me, my fun is yoga. I really love getting to my yoga classes and hanging with girlfriends and chatting.
Amazing. And last question for you, Rachel. Entrepreneurism, are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
Both. I would say that I think that mostly we're born with it, that all of that, that we have this kind of desire to this drive. But I think there's the learned capacity, because if you look at other cultures like England and Australia, culturally, you know, being an entrepreneur is not really that acceptable. And so I think some of that gets suppressed. And then others of us, it's like, it's brought out. So it's kind of like gene expression. I think we all have it, but you know, environmental factors can trigger the expressions.
Rachel, I love what you have to say. You are an entrepreneur, a mom, and a boss. You have so much wisdom. When people want to follow up with you, where can they go to find more about what you're up to?
The best place is on Instagram, and that's at mumboss. Of course, my website, mumboss.com, and that's M-U-M-B-O-S-S.com. important difference in the mum versus mom, just saying. Yeah. And I'm also on Facebook, but spend most of my time on Instagram.
I love it. We'll have all of that information in our show notes so people can track you down. As always, it's such a pleasure. Rachel, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Megan. It's been great.
If you enjoyed our conversation and would like to hear more, head on over to Stitcher or iTunes and subscribe to the Anthropology Podcast. We would also really appreciate a quick review. When people have their health, they can change the world. Let us keep you healthy and you go change the world.